So as our video suggests, this Lent, we are going to be looking at the I am statements of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Jesus makes a series of declarations, each beginning with the powerful words, I am. And these statements offer us just a glimpse into the divine nature of Christ and what his relationship with us should be like. And with each statement, Jesus reveals not only who he is, but what he offers to those who believe in him. And so hopefully as we go over these next 6-7 weeks to Easter, we will all get to know Christ better. And we'll explore each one of these I am statements. So you might say, well, what is an I am statement? As I mentioned in John's gospel, there are 7 different pictures of who he is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you will never hunger again. He said, I am the gate. I am the door by which you enter, which is the one that we begin with today. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So before we really dig into these 10 verses, let's back up a little bit and just talk about the I am statements in general. They hold profound significance for our Christian faith and for our understanding of Jesus. For one thing, in these statements, Jesus confirms his divine identity. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you." The name I am is how God chose to introduce himself. It became so sacred in Judaism that the name was not to be spoken. So that's why the Pharisees, when Jesus calls himself the I am in John 18, are shocked and call it blasphemy, because no one was to speak these words, this name of God. With these statements, Jesus is asserting his divine identity, his equality with God the Father. That is the purpose of this gospel, to show that Jesus of Nazareth was Christ, the Son of God, and that believers in him might have eternal life. I mean, it begins with the opening words of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That light is Jesus Christ. And he proclaims his divinity by stating in these 7 statements, I am. He also declares himself as the Savior and Redeemer of humanity. Each of the I am statements unveils a unique aspect of salvation. I am the bread of life assures us of spiritual nourishment and sustenance. I am the resurrection and the life points to victory over death and eternal life. And as we will see today and next week, I am the gate and I am the shepherd, helps us know the intimacy that we can experience as believers. Helps us know that it is through Jesus and Jesus alone that we are reconciled to God the Father. And this is what Jesus is telling us as he proclaims this statement in verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Sometimes in other versions, you'll see this translated as the door. I am the door. The word in Greek is thura, and it's translated as gate or door. And to really get to understand this illustration, we have to know a little bit about ancient culture and shepherding. So there were two different kinds of sheepfolds or pens. One was found more commonly in cities or villages, and it would be large enough to hold flocks of sheep. It had walls. It had an actual gate or a door. And the sheep pen would be in the care of a gatekeeper, whose duty it was to guard the door to the sheep pen during the night and in the morning to admit the shepherds to call to their individual flocks and lead them out. And so in verses 2 and 3, this is the kind of sheep pen that Jesus is talking about. The shepherds would call to their sheep, each of which knew its own shepherd's voice and would lead them out to pasture. So here Jesus is likening himself to the shepherd that comes to the gate and leads them out, the true shepherd. Because with this type of sheepfold, if a thief or a bandit wanted to get into the sheep, he would have to climb the walls because the gatekeeper wouldn't let him in. And the sheep would not follow him because they wouldn't know his voice. The sheep were so intimately acquainted with the shepherd that they would only go to him. Jesus is establishing his authority as the true shepherd who is allowed into the gate. In these times, there were anti-Roman insurrectionists who claimed to be the Messiah, and they were often called bandits. And so Jesus is speaking out against the false prophets of his time. But because Scripture is truth, Jesus is also speaking to us today. Jesus is establishing himself as the legitimate authority in our lives. So we should ask ourselves, what are the bandits in our lives? What is it that keeps us from drawing closer to Jesus or proclaiming Jesus as the authority in our life? Lent begins this week. This is the first Sunday of Lent. And on Ash Wednesday, we had our service and we talked about what this season is for. And it is a time of spiritual preparation, a time to renew our faith and prepare our hearts for the gift that is coming on Easter morning, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf that we may be forgiven. So we often talk about what we're giving up. It's the thieves, the bandits, the things that are keeping us from being closer to Christ that need pruning. And we may overcome those bandits by giving something up, or we may overcome them by taking something on, a spiritual practice like prayer or fasting or devotion. Because in our lives, there are so many voices, so many influences that can hinder our relationship with Jesus, that can keep us from drawing close. So this is a reminder that Jesus is the only answer for our safety and abundance, that Jesus is the true shepherd whose voice we should be listening for. The Pharisees he was talking to did not understand. In verse 6, it says those he was speaking to, which were the Pharisees. It actually is sort of a continuation of chapter 9. If you sort of flip back to chapter 9, Jesus heals the man who is blind since birth. And the Pharisees are there. They're not too happy about it. And so Jesus is talking to them. And they didn't get this figure of speech, this parable. And so he tries again in verse 7. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. So first he was kind of describing himself as the shepherd who comes through the gate, and now he's saying, I am the gate. And it's the second type of sheep pen that he's talking about here. Remember, I said there were two types of sheep pens. So the second type of sheep pen is one that would be used out in the countryside. And it's really nothing more than rocks that were piled into a circle. And then there would just be an opening because there was no gate to close. And so the shepherd would lead the sheep into the circle and would lie in the opening, keeping the sheep in and the wild animals out. He would lie across the opening, literally becoming the door to the sheep pen, protecting anything from coming in and protecting the sheep from wandering away. The shepherd becomes the gate. Jesus provides entry into the grace and the presence of God. Jesus is proclaiming the truth that he is the way for salvation, for reconciliation, and for an intimate relationship with God. And I always find it so fascinating to really dig in to the words of the scripture and to uncover the layers of meaning. So if we look at the phrase in verse 9, whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. That phrase Jesus uses, come in and go out, is culturally significant. The phrase and the image of coming and going is repeatedly used to describe God's people and the safety that they find in God. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 6, Moses blesses the Israelites, saying, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Psalm 121, verse 8, says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. For the ancient Israelites, coming in and going out without the fear of harm or oppression was a tangible expression of God's faithfulness. It represented the fulfillment of his promise to provide for and protect his chosen people. This phrase of coming and going was significant to the people listening to him speak, and Jesus knew that. He knew that they would recognize that phrase, coming in and going out. And so he is saying to them that he is the fulfillment of God's promises. Ultimately and simply, I am the gate means Jesus is the unique and exclusive mediator between humanity and God. And that means something else that I think is really important for us to remember. And that is that we are not the gate. We are not the gatekeepers to salvation, grace, and a relationship with God. We are all sinners, each one of us. And we are not the ones who get to judge who is worthy of God's grace and mercy, because none of us are. We can and we should serve as vessels of God's grace, sharing the good news of salvation that he offers, but no person and nothing is a substitute for a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that relationship? You know, I've been a Christian all my life. I was baptized as an infant. I was raised in the church. And from a young age, I knew in my head that God loved me and that Jesus was my Savior. But I can say that there was a time that I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. It was a concept. It was a concept that I believed in, that God existed, that God loved the world, that Jesus came and lived and died and rose and was my Savior. I professed it and believed it in my head. But there came a turning point And many events and many people led up to it, but a turning point where Jesus became real, became alive in my heart, and I realized the depth of God's love for not just the world, but for me. And a true relationship began, and with it, a yearning to tell other people about it. It's a relationship that's built on intimacy and trust. Trust in Jesus, like the one Jesus describes between the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd cared for the whole flock in general, but also the shepherd knew each individual sheep, called them by name. The sheep recognize the shepherd's voice and follow him because they know that they are safe in his care, that he will lead them to abundance of food and water. Jesus cares for the whole world, but calls each of us by name, inviting us into a personal relationship with him as the true way to be reconciled to God. Do we recognize his voice amidst all the distractions of the world? Do we trust in his provision and guidance like the sheep do the shepherd? As we stand at the threshold of this gate, which in my mind looks like a big swinging ranch gate with a cattle guard, you know, Texas. That's how I see it in my head, for real. So as we stand there at this gate, to this beautiful ranch that awaits us, let us not hesitate. Let us run through the gate with excitement and abandon, embracing all that Jesus has to offer us. And let's not keep it a secret. Let's show other people the way to the gate, inviting them also to enter into this abundant life that is found in Christ alone. Let us do that. And let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your faithfulness. You are the God who goes before us, walks beside us, and who watches over all of our comings and goings. We thank you for Jesus, for his life, death, and resurrection that is the gate through which we find our salvation. And God, as we leave this place, we ask that you would put in our hearts a desire to begin or renew a personal relationship with our Savior, and that we would allow that relationship to transform us into the people that you have called us to be, reflecting your love and your grace to those around us. May the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us in the days ahead until we return with thanksgiving to this place. Amen.